Good to see everybody here this morning. Good to see some old friends from far away. I didn't expect everybody who I owed money to be showing up on the same day, but it is good to see y'all. Appreciate so much the blessings that we have when we get together and worship. We're a blessed people. Looking forward to the transition that we're in the midst of. I'm really looking forward to Josh taking over the pulpit. I'm looking forward to the fact that really neither one of us has ever taken over a pulpit, but that this is God's and that we're just saying a little bit from it when we get up. And it's important to keep that in mind, that the words that we say, whoever the we is up here, it's only what we read from the Word that is worth applying to our lives. It is God whom we glorify and how blessed we are. Having said that, I have a few personal comments to make. Been here for 27 years. Almost forgot to turn on the stopwatch. That's a personal comment as well, isn't it? Got it. Don't worry. I'll give you a minute credit. We have been so blessed since we've been here. I still remember, and I've mentioned this to some of y'all before, but when we got here, as I was getting ready for the morning service, Carolyn looked across at me and said, "Do you think we can pull this off?" Like we were going to be robbing a bank or something. And for 27 years, I think we have robbed a bank. We have been very blessed with fellowship that we have, with the leadership that we've had within this congregation all those years, and the guidance that we have had, and the encouragement that we have had. So to each one of you, we do want to express our heartfelt thanks. I was preparing a different lesson for this morning, and while I was on vacation this past week, by the way, thanks to Josh and Zach and Dave for filling the pulpit so admirably while I was gone. I had just a completely different lesson in mind, and I got to thinking about what I might say, and then it dawned on me I had the perfect lesson. It was the one that I gave in Casper, Wyoming when we left, and that one was really bittersweet. Because when we got to Casper, they raised us from pups. It was a young congregation, not too dissimilar from what we have here now. And we had so many that were our age, and we did everything together. We'd have game nights together, and we'd get involved with all sorts of community sports in different things. We would get together for Bible studies. It was just family. When I was trying to think of what I could possibly say on my last lesson there, it was this theme: you touch lives. Because they had touched our lives in so many different ways. And y'all have done something I didn't think was possible. You've done more. And have touched our lives in ways that has made us realize several things. One, how incredible the Church of Christ is, the body of Christ. When we become Christians, we really do become brothers and sisters. And there is a care and a compassion for one another, even if we don't individually deserve that. We still have the love of Christ that is available to us. I've had more fun here preaching, almost as much fun as I have in the announcing booth at the football games, which is a lot of fun. But I have watched so many different things through the years, and we have been the recipients of so many blessings. When we left Wyoming, it was kind of on the other end of the socioeconomic scale. And when we moved here, it was humbling the way so many of y'all would just bring us food. We got boxes of beef and pork and canned goods. And at first it was really hard to accept that. And then one of our elderly ladies, I can't remember exactly which one it was, she looked at me and she said, "You'll steal my blessing if you don't take this." So we tried never to steal anybody's blessing after that. and we were blessed. But more than anything, we've appreciated the way that you have rooted for us to do well, the way that you have taken our kids as your own and helped them to feel at home, and the just the love that you have shown for us. And so from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for touching our lives in such a beautiful way. Now, the lesson. As Christians, this is our responsibility. It's really, when you think about it, the thing that we have for each other, for those who are Christians and for those who are yet to become Christians, but that will be Christians someday if they have a good heart, because the word, the seed of the kingdom is good. And so it's up to us to do our very best to make sure that as ambassadors for Christ, that we have these touches that we have in other people's lives in just the right way, to where we are, in fact, reflecting the love of God and the love of Christ and the privilege of what we've been given. Whether we're talking about the youngest among us, who we're awfully glad to see, or those who have been the most faithful for the longest time, who are the closest, perhaps, to the reward that they have known they don't deserve, but have so diligently worked for and have so beautifully influenced others' lives. And so this is what we want to look at this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. As far as the way we touch people's lives, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There's a lot there, isn't there? But these are some of the highlights of how we touch God. We do it by building others up. What a privilege it is, as servants of Christ, to be called not to grind people under, not to whip them into shape, but to be able to build them up instead of tear them down. One of the ways, and if you think about the people who have had the most precious influence in your life, while I'm sure they exercised an appropriate style of discipline, an amount of discipline, it's very likely that what influenced you the most was the way that they encouraged you to be better than you were, and how they built you up. This is how we touch people's lives, by doing that. We do it by being kind and compassionate. The only way we can do that is to get rid of the hatred in our lives, the anger, the bitterness, the malice, and replace it with kindness and compassion. When our family got together for our annual prayer requests, two of the requests were along these lines. One, that they might be more outward reaching. And that's the only way we can touch people's lives with Christ, is if we reach out to others. So often, either because we feel too inadequate for the task, or because we're just as selfish as the day is long, we don't reach out. We all have trouble with that, don't we? I do. But the other prayer request that really sticks out in this was that they might exhibit the kindness that God wanted them to exhibit. This is how we'll touch lives the best, is if we can be kind to one another, a kindness that comes from the heart, not from some sort of just insincere words that we might be thinking of, and a compassion that allows us to truly feel for the lost, to truly grieve with those who are mourning, and to truly rejoice with those who are rejoicing. We're going to heaven unless we decide not to. God and Christ have made the arrangements. Their part is perfect. The only way you will not make it to heaven is if you decide not to. Not to go by the covenant, by the agreement that God has given you. And why would you want to do that when the covenant is so pleasant? When we talk about touching people's lives, there is something that Christ has to offer for us. And as Christians, we need to be able to extend that to others so they can see it. The third thing that really sticks out to me in this is the idea of being imitators of God. Not imposters, not thinking that we're God, but being imitators of all the good characteristics. And by living a life of love, and you see that, Carolyn and I, AJ, Charisse and Rebecca have been the pleasant recipients of people living a life of love towards us, not because we were so great or because we were so worthy, but because Christ is so great and God is so worthy. And so they exhibited that to us and to everybody else. Isn't that a privilege when we talk about the Christian life? The call to this life is good, not evil. It is hard sometimes, but nowhere near as hard as it is to live a life that is not in Christ, with all the sorrow and hopelessness that goes along with that. We can't have a favorable touch if we're selfish. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, says this: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." That's as high as the bar gets, isn't it? Think about that for a moment. God does not ask us or command us to not look to our own interests. How can you possibly maintain the health and spiritual well-being that you need unless you're looking to those interests? But in a like way, we're to have the same desire for others, that we're looking to their interests as well. Somebody did that for us. Somebody did that for the first person in your family who came into contact with the truth, who then passed it on to you. Maybe you were the first in your family. Maybe it was somebody generations ago. You owe that not only to the ones who have helped you, but you especially owe it to God and to Christ. So we touch lives by looking to the interests of others. And then he said, by having the same attitude of Christ. Can you imagine? The Son of God, who was with God in the beginning, through whom all things were created, who had the power of God, who is deity, took on the form of a man, and he condescended himself to come to this earth. And then it says he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead he made himself in the likeness of a servant, even unto death. How can we do anything else if Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped? How can we? And how can we fail to serve God and serve others knowing that? Another important thing is if we're going to touch people's lives well, we have to conduct ourselves well. There has to be something respectable about you. The way that you live your lives, the way that you speak, the words that come out of your mouth, are they seasoned with salt? Or would you be embarrassed if somebody heard them? Would you be embarrassed if you saw Christ physically present as he is spiritually present with us today? Conduct yourself, Philippians 1:27, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We know that we can never be worthy of the sacrifice that was done for us, but we've never been commanded to do something that is impossible to do. So as far as it's up to us, as far as it's possible, we're to live a life that's worthy of the gospel, of the good news. By doing so, we're going to be an example and influence to other people, and we're going to touch their lives. And hopefully we'll do it in a way, such a manner, that when they depart from our presence, they'll be closer to God, not farther away. Closer to the kingdom, not farther away. And hopefully we'll be the same by their touch. One of the things I believe is really important for us to understand is that a proper influence is going to require a certain amount of diplomacy. Some people don't like diplomacy. They think it's deceit and lying. And there are diplomats indeed who are deceitful and liars. We're not talking about that. Rather, we're talking about this standard. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Think about that. You and I deserve to die on the cross, not Jesus. We're the ones that deserve to have God turn his back on us for that moment and forsake us, as Jesus uttered, because he had our sins upon him. How can we do now anything less than to be ambassadors for Christ? An ambassador serves the will of his sovereign, but they also do it in a way as to bring a win-win situation to the ones that they are acting as a liaison between God and whoever, or a liaison between your country and another country, whatever it is. Can you imagine the importance of being a liaison between God and those we love? We're an ambassador of Christ. It requires diplomacy. Now, I've had a problem with that from time to time, because very often I think of something really quick, and I think of it and I will often say it before I've had a time to really run it through the filter, and then I wish that I had run it through the filter. That's sometimes when diplomacy really starts, isn't it? I've had more than one time in my life, to have probably in the last week, to go up to somebody and say, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it that way. Or I wished I hadn't said it in that way. We're representing Christ. Not a nation, not a team, not a selfish interest. And as such, we need to be ambassadors if we're going to have the proper touch. There's another thing that's so important as far as touching people's lives, and that's to know when to touch their life and when not. We're to mind our business, are we not? 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent upon anybody. Minding your business has a double connotation, doesn't it? There's two sides to that. One is taking care of that which is your business, tending to your business so that others don't have to make up for your not doing your part. When this nation was founded, the very first coin was called the Fujio coin. It was designed by Benjamin Franklin. The motto on it said, mind your business. And what it meant by that was be industrious. Take care of that which you're responsible for. So this is the first half of mind your own business. The second is how we would typically use it. We don't put our nose where it does not belong. We do observe when somebody might be in danger of being lost so that we can bring the saving gospel to them. We do help them out in areas where they may not have even asked for help, but we can see they can't carry that burden alone and we can help, and so we do. That's minding our business even if we don't know the person. But when it comes to personal things, when it comes to matters of opinion, when it comes to just insinuating yourself into somebody's life where you don't belong, Christians cannot do that. And so part of touching people's lives is, first of all, being industrious on your own so that people can see that you're serious about taking care of the things that you're responsible for, but also having enough trust in them that they might take care of the things that they're responsible for that are outside your realm of responsibility. Another thing that we really need to be aware of, I believe, we've just got a couple more and then a final verse, but two more passages and then a final verse after that. But this is our example. So many want to just teach by example. That's good. 1 Timothy 4:11, command and teach these things. Do not let anyone look down upon you because you're young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. This is the example we need to leave for others. If we're going to try and win people over to Christ, there needs to be something within our life that is admirable enough for them to look at and say, I want that. Not because we have achieved greatness, but because God has done so much for us. And so, the way we talk, the way we walk our life, the way that we love one another in our faith, which needs to be unshakable, and in our purity, which sometimes we forget. It's not just example, though. It's also teaching the word. 1 Timothy chapter 4, now in verse 15. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Doctrine is the teaching of the word. We've been studying recently in Jarrett's class, when we talk about the inspiration of the word, it was inspired so that man wouldn't make a mistake. God did not trust man's fallible memory to record his words, nor did he trust them to come up with just the right way. He gave it to them. We have it within the word of God. It's pure. Stay with it, and let that be your doctrine. And as Paul said, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Once we've had an example that hopefully attracts people to Christ, then we need to have the teaching of the word that will allow them to come into contact with what God wants them to know. And then finally this, Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who belong to the family of believers. How are you touching the lives of others? It might be the difference for them between coming to Christ or being separated from Him for all eternity. And it most definitely will be a strong determining factor in whether or not you will spend your eternity with Christ or apart from Him in an eternity that was never designed for man, but was designed for the devil and his angels. What will you do in your walk of life? How will you touch people's lives? The invitation's open. If you need to respond, if you're ready to become a Christian, if you need prayers, won't you come forward and let those needs be known while we stand and sing?